Okay, we'll start. We'll call the meeting to order. There is a quorum. We have Representative Erdahl has very carefully looked at the minutes of April 4th, and he moves.
The very good minutes.
Okay, all those in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes passes.
One to nothing.
Okay. Okay, and I'll point out always, if you're going into any kind of an argument, always come armed. And I had that green book with us, which is the Bible of scheduling. And so that's why we're here, and we don't have to go over to 118 in the Capitol. And I had help of Representative McDonald, who was very strong and yelling at him. So, okay. So anyway, we're ready to go. We're going to, we thought we were going to finish the amendments to the Clean Water Fund article, but Representative Torkelson has said that he would rather have the full spreadsheet and so forth distributed, and so we'll get that out later today. So we'll probably do all major amendments tomorrow. I'm for the Parks and Trails article. I have a delete. We've talked about most of it, but I have a delete everything amendment, and I'd rather take amendments to it at that time. And all of this, we think, will be out to all members and on the website by this afternoon. So. Okay. Janelle, Parks and Trails.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just going to run real quickly through the Parks and Trails Fund. It is structured differently than the governor's budget, and you know the main highlights would be that the governor had recommended more for state parks and trails, and this bill would be a reduction from that for the DNR state portion, and I believe an increase for the outstate and metro areas. And I'll just go through, if you want to start on page 30, the paragraph A, these are two appropriations, the first and second year for DNR, and unlike the governor's budget, there's a list of projects with the amounts for each of these projects listed, and you can see those from lines 28 through all the way to page 3218, and those would be all the projects for the state trails and parks. And then paragraph B on page 32, this provides some funding for the DNR for education and interpretive services at state parks. Paragraph C, this provides an appropriation for DNR for some outreach and some web information. Paragraph D provides $1.5 million the first year for some acquisition for Lake Bronson State Park, Sibley State Park, and Minneopa State Park. On page 33, paragraph E provides an appropriation again to the DNR for improvement at state parks. It does set aside, or specifically list Teta Gooch State Park. Paragraph F provides $720,000 for the Whitewater State Park. Paragraph G provides some funds for improvements at state parks and rec areas. Paragraph H provides additional funding for the DNR for restoration and enhancement activities at state parks and rec areas. And then paragraph I, this there's two sections to the outstate grants. Paragraph I provides grant money to the DNR, and this would be for the competitive grant program that they traditionally get money through. And then if you turn to page 34, paragraph J, this provides two appropriations for greater Minnesota Regional State Parks, and this specifies the projects that would be funded with that appropriation, and you'll see those on lines 334.6 through 34.31. And then paragraph K requires the DNR to contract with the Conservation Corps of Minnesota for at least $2 million each year. And then there's also some additional funding, and that's the $2 million is an increase over the governor's recommendation. And then there's some new language that requires a recipient of a grant to make contact with the Conservation Corps of Minnesota. And then when there's a need for historic preservation services with the Northern Bedrock Conservation Corps. And then section four is for the MEC Council, and this is an increase over the governor's recommendations. And unlike the governor's recommendations, where the money is put to the formula and statute, this would provide a breakout by implementing agency for various projects that are listed. And you'll see the beginning of that. For example, paragraph B would provide funding for Anoka County, and then you'll see the list of projects that they could use the funding for. And this continues for each of the implementing agencies. And then you'll see, you know, paragraph C would be for the city of Bloomington, and then D is Carver County, and so on for each of the implementing agencies. And
Estella, could you say the page number?
Sure. All right. So. I'm just looking through to find the end of the various appropriations for the implementing agencies. The final one would be paragraph K on page 40 for Washington County. And then on line 40.27, paragraph L, you'll see the same requirement to make contact with the Conservation Corps of Minnesota for these grants as well. Section 5 is for the LCC for the legacy website. Section 6 is the first of a couple sections that were coming from Metsa's bill, and this is requiring the new commission members to be they're just determined as public officials. Section 7 is the establishment of the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks Commission, and this is the language as it was in Representative Metsa's bill and as it was heard in Representative Wagini's committee. And what it does is it establishes a commission of 12 members that are appointed by the governor, who would then make recommendations for the use of the funds for the Greater Minnesota, and they would make recommendations to the legislature. And then the final section on page 44, section 8, this provides an extension for an appropriation for the Mississippi Whitewater Park until 2018. And that concludes the Parks and Trails section.
Okay. Representative Murphy.
You've made several references to Representative Metz's bill, and then there's this commission. Could you go into those in more detail, please? I'm not familiar with Representative Metz's bill, nor with this commission.
Sure. Madam Chair, the bulk of it is on Section 7, and that's on page 42. This establishes a commission, and it's to provide recommendations to the legislature for funds from Parks and Trails for regional parks outside the seven-county metro area. The commission, if you look on lines 42.31, it is required to include 12 members, and they will represent districts that are determined by the commissioner in consultation with the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Coalition. And you'll see that requirement on subdivision 3 on page 43. The commissioner establishes these 12 districts outside the metro area, and then one member from each would represent on the commission. And then subdivision 4 would establish some criteria for what would be considered a park or trail of regional significance for eligibility for grants under this section. Subdivision 5 requires the commission to submit biennial recommendations and provides the schedule that they would do that. It also, if you look on the bottom of page 43, the commission is required to make recommendations that are consistent with master plans.
And Madam Chair, was this bill went through
GovOps and Environment Finance. Went from GovOps to, yes.
And Representative Wagenius, did anyone question giving up legislative authority to a commission appointed by a governor and the DNR commissioner?
Well, let me try and answer this, because Representative Metzger came, I don't want to say nasty things about a first-year legislator, but he came with a bill to the GovOps committee that had kind of the commission appointing itself, and it had these weird regions throughout the state. I think the very astute chair of the GovOps committee, Representative Nelson, as soon as Representative Metz is presenting this bill and he sees Pepin and Kahn jointly attacking it from both sides, he suddenly kind of sees that this bill might be in trouble, and so he suggests to Representative Metz that he hold it back and work on it. And so a bunch of us worked on it until the next week, and what we did was we modeled it after the Metropolitan Council's Park Commission, you know, but fixed Metropolitan Council's a little easy because that's a statutory agency, and we had to establish this. So that's the story of where that came from. I don't know that their recommendations, they're providing recommendations to the legislature. I don't think their provision of recommendations to the legislature changes the legislative duty to appropriate, which is what we're trying to do in this bill. So I hope that explains it.
Madam Chair.
Representative Erdogan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and maybe Representative Wagenius. Without this commission, who would make the decisions for Greater Minnesota Parks as to the location of the parks?
I think Representative Kahn, Representative Erdahl, in the past, there's been a grants program where DNR has given grants to counties.
Jean, you get closer to your microphone.
Okay. In the past, there's been a grants program. And there's been a certain amount of money allocated to that grants program. And some of the folks that you heard testify, and I will bring up the Runestone Park in Douglas County, since I've been there, applied for money from that and expanded that park with that money. That's an example. Does that answer your question?
Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius, is just basically you're saying that the DNR was the main force behind determining how much should be spent on Greater Minnesota Parks.
Representative Wagenius.
No, that was not there was a certain amount of grant money, and the people applied for it and got grants, competitive grants. And that is my understanding.
From the DNR.
Well, it's from the legislature who allocated money to DNR for the grants program, which would be the way I would put it.
I don't remember, this is so we have Representative Murphy and Representative Erdahl. I don't remember if there were separate projects listed in the last, you guys know much more about the last two bills than I do. So,
Madam Chair, I actually brought the last bill with me, and I was just looking to see if there were, and we did not list projects.
So, and who determined the projects there?
The DNR for Greater Minnesota.
Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, when this was discussed in GovOp, I know that your main goal was to get projects. I suspect the main goal was to get projects recommended by somebody that vetted them, and there was some reasoning going into what kind of projects they should be and what qualifies, what criteria is established. But before we get to that, can you give me some thoughts on what you had about the appointment of the 12 members?
Not much. Representative Metz had a really weird appointment process where they kind of appointed, you can look at his original bill, they seemed to sort of appoint themselves. And so that was not acceptable. This was really copied from the Metropolitan Council, which has stood for 40 years, the Metropolitan Council's regional park process. I think it stood for 40 years without serious complaint about it. And this list, the list of these projects, kind of came from the analysis. Well, maybe the most knowledgeable person here might be Dan Larson. I don't know how we can get a hold of Representative Metza, but the list of these projects pretty much came from the report that we had from the group that had listed. The one that came out that said we should have ended up saying we should have 130 regional parks. And so that was something that was clearly unacceptable. So we think this is something that will get to some kind of a reasonable analysis of regional parks.
And Madam Chair, in the Metropolitan Council, does the governor appoint the park board members, commission member, or the park board?
You know, we couldn't.
Commission members?
I doubt it. I think that they come from, but the problem is the Metropolitan Council is an established group with Metropolitan Council regions. So we had to try and make something that was going to do the same thing, but that there didn't exist any regional group. And the DNR regions, when we looked at what originally came, the DNR regions made no sense. I mean, or often made little sense. For example, there was one DNR region that spread from west to east across the bottom part of the state. So you're dealing with from the forests of southeast Minneapolis to the plains of, Minnesota, to the plains of western Minnesota. And so we're hoping to get something that makes some more geographic sense than that.
This is just my last question. Was it considered that the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate or the committee from the Senate appoint four, and then the governor appoint four. Well, was that considered and ruled out?
The reason I would tend to rule it out, even though I always hate to give away legislative prerogatives and such, is the fact that when you have four separate units making appointments, it's really hard to get any kind of balance, you know, because each one, you can't require each one to be balanced. And if one, you know, I think the only person elected over the state is the governor. But if anyone can think of another way to do it, we're amenable to that. You know, as I said, I'm not sure he's to be considered the major expert, although we know he did work on it. But Dan Larson, who worked with the people on regional parks, maybe could say some words about this.
I'm done.
Do you mind if I coming and saying something? Sure. Because you were involved with the first bill and this extract and so forth. And you don't have to say it's terrific if you don't think it's terrific. But you can at least give some idea of what happened.
Madam Chair, members, I love it when I'm out in the hallway and get called in and then get called up here.
So yeah.
I'm a little behind. And what should I start with?
Well, the question representative, but for yes. Start with giving your name.
Dan Larson,
for the tape.
Okay. Representing Greater Minnesota Regional Park and Trail Coalition and the Minnesota Rural Counties Caucus.
Okay, great. Okay, and so the question was then asked by Representative Murphy of where this language on the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission came from. So I kind of gave what the history was. So I imagine you would work with Representative Metza on his bill. So we started with that. And I started with fixing up that bill to make it acceptable to the legislature.
Very
and
good.
So now, and we hope it's still acceptable to the people who came in with the idea. But you are the guys who came in with the idea to have this Greater Minnesota Regional Commission.
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, thank you for the question. Just to go back a little ways on where this commission emanated from, Throughout this bill, we've tried to have an organic process. If you can see the way we'd like the parks and the projects to move through the plan and come through the commission. For the commission, initially, we had the commission being chosen, I believe it was by the Greater Minnesota Regional Park and Trail Coalition, if I'm not mistaken. And it was there were 13 original districts, and we got it to I believe the GovOps committee and Representative Kahn, and we presented it as a plan that we thought would work, but open to the process if anybody had better ideas. And to her credit, Representative Kahn had a better idea, and we worked with us over the course of a couple days. And so now the governor is appointing 12 commission members, and we've got the 12 districts. We still think that number is a little high, but in the meanwhile, this is something that the group supports, and we think it's better than what we started out with.
And then is legacy funds paying for the commission?
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, yes, it comes off the Greater Minnesota portion cost for the administration, or is that 2.5%? I think it might be the 2.5%, but it does come out of the legacy, yes.
Okay. I don't know that we specifically said that, and we might. The other one, at the other point, the administrative funds did come from DNR at some point. We might need to fix that, and we also might need to follow what your first question is. We might need to put a statement that specifically states that they make recommendations to the legislature. We might need to add. So we'll look at that. Representative Vigneas?
I think on line 4331, if the commission shall submit biennial recommendations on the appropriation of money is in there. I think the difficulty might be that there is no set amount, so it would be, I would think, a priority list would be a helpful way to, because it is the legislature that makes the decision. And perhaps just as I was sitting here.
Okay, and we did do the administrative. And I'm sorry, I did notice we did, as I thought, DNR provides administrative support for the commission.
Right, I didn't see a 2.5%.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Bouguinas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. I think that's all we need. Thank you so much.
One of the things that we don't want to run into as a legislature is for recommendations to come in for 27% of the money. I think that we run into that problem, which we do not want to run into, so the better way of dealing with it shall submit a ranked list of recommendations, and then it would be up to the legislature where you draw the line there compared to what value you are getting from DNR, compared to what value you are getting from the Met Council. This is, I think, one of the issues here is who does the final decision making, and that might be a better way to deal with that issue. Does that make sense to you?
It's comforting. It's comforting.
Okay. Any other questions? The two people who have asked to testify, start with Mark Matisse.
So,
I don't know if you want to be Mark. Two names you have: Mark Matisse and Tom Ryan. I don't know if you want to be together or what.
Madam Chair, Representatives, my name is Thomas J. Ryan. I am a superintendent of Umpqua County Parks. I had the privilege of serving on the Legacy Funding Committee in 2012. I'm also seated as the alternate chair on the Legacy Advisory Committee. And lastly, I'm the vice president of Greater Minnesota. Mark, why don't you introduce yourself?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Matisse. I'm with the Wright County Parks Department and also a member of the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. I'd like to thank you for all your detail and hard work on this bill, and we'll let Tom do most of the talking here because they don't like when I talk.
Okay. Let me just say a few words because, you know, we, as we said, we thought we were going to be have the delete everything amendment, and for both of these parts, we thought we were going to have them ready today, but we didn't. Let me just say a few words just in case we're going to get into trouble with what people say, or just in case people are going to tell us to say things that we've already decided to do. When the Delete Everything Amendment comes in, it will cut $3.5 million from Minneapolis and will bring the percentage back within the statute. It will give more money to DNR. It will also, as Mr. Meyer requested, address the language for more leeway within DNR for allocating the Parks and Trails funds. I mean, we've kind of started with their numbers, but as definitely pointed out, when you put a definitive number in, things come in under and over, and so we'll have some language that gives them something to do it. And we're also going to change the regional significance definition for Article 2, Section 7. So if there, I mean, we'll take any complaints about any of those things, but just wanted to tell that those are already in the path to be done. So,
understood, Madam Chair. We can assure you won't hear any complaints from us today. We just wanted to, first of all, I and others, I'm a 40-40-20 guy. You've heard that from me a couple of times. And we wanted to reaffirm that, not only with the coalition, Greater Minnesota, but certainly as a member of the Legacy Funding Committee, all the nine stakeholders, as I understand, are committed to that. What we really wanted to do, as Mark said, was to compliment you on your efforts. We know you're very busy. We also recognize that you all sign a certificate. We appreciate that. The ultimate decision is yours to make. We would like to share with you our opinions about the 175 plan and its strengths as we see it, for your modification and discussion, of course. And we also would like to share with you the proposition that so far, and it's a bit of a reminder perhaps, that so far that we have all worked very diligently to do just exactly as you prescribed, as related to the 175 study, the Legacy Funding Committee study, and that we think that if you're so compelled that we can offer some suggestions and recommendations as related to the breakup or the distribution of this regional system. And that's really all that I have to say, Madam Chair.
Okay. Well, we're looking. We understand that this is kind of a transition year.
Yes, ma'am.
And we hope that the next time we'll have some, we hope that this council will be established. We hope it will function as well as it will. And we hope that the next time we go into this, we'll have, you know, a well thought out set of plans from them. So.
Certainly.
Okay. Any? Representative Wagenius, do you have anything to say or no?
Well, I sit here just thinking numbers and having a concern that we still do not have a way to look into the future and figure out how in the aggregate we are going to fund each of these things. We're going down these paths, but are these paths financially sustainable? And that, of course, is something I worry about all the time. Can we start to make commitments and then not have operating dollars? And we see that in DNR in particular, We haven't gotten our arms around that that issue, so that's the one caution I have about all of this. And perhaps as people are planning, they're actually looking at spreadsheets that go not next year, but 20 years and 30 years, and how these things are going to have long-term funding.
Okay, and you know, besides that, one of the other issues that has come up, and this came up with the conversation I had with the senator today too, is that we're concerned about the management of lands, and we've had a lot of complaints about the lack of, you know, trail, and I don't even want to blame it on, I don't necessarily want to blame it on them, because the legislature specifies something and then doesn't specify the funding to it. But there's lots of DNR lands and trails and things that are not adequately maintained, not constructed, and so forth. And maybe one of the things some of these thinking groups could do is come clean up the statutes and get things that are in the statute that maybe shouldn't be there, and figure out where we're going to go. One of the things that I really hope to do to leave a legacy for the, continue leaving the legacy that the previous legacy committees have started for the state, is the idea of trying to connect more things, to get more of these three separate funds working together. And I guess, and an idea that was brought to me by somebody, by an outside person or inside person, whatever, was that it would be really nice to take one or two watersheds and get really good measurements around them. And I think Representative Wagenius does that in part of her clean water bill. Get really good measurements, and you know, to start with and to finish with, and to think as we're doing these watersheds, it would be really nice to have all three funds, or at least the all three environmental funds, and maybe we can do some arts and cultural signage too or something, to get working together on that. And so in a certain number of years, we can show a real difference. We can show something that left a legacy. And it just, and if we concentrate on a couple of watersheds, you know, and not to neglect other things, but in terms of good measurement, we might be able to show that, which I think would be the, sorry, I was brought up as a data analyst rather than a politician, so I always like to kind of believe that we're trying to use data instead of just politics for some of these decisions. So,
Madam Chair, all those points are duly noted, and I'd be surprised if anybody could ever have a strong argument against that idea. Your comment reminded me of one thing that I probably just said earlier in my short statement, and that is a reminder to us all of the commitment of the three primary providers to the legacy plan. And I think, if you'll indulge me, the four primary points are connect people to the outdoors, that we're quite aware of, acquire land and create opportunities, take care of what we have, as you're well-versed, and last but not least, coordinate among partners. Our proposition would be that once we get some stability as related to the disbursement, 40-40-20, one of the things that that may allow us to do is to enhance that fourth pillar, and that is coordinate with other partners, including DNR, Met Council on the fringe counties, etc. So you're absolutely right. We agree.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I'd like to add to Tom's statement there. The legacy fund has been going on.
Just before you start talking, you just say your name and
okay.
Helpful for the tape.
Mark Matthijs, yeah. Okay. Madam Chair, with the last session granting some dollars for a strategic plan in Greater Minnesota, it's helped us realize those four pillars. It helps Greater Minnesota plan for taking care of what we need to in the future by working across cross-jurisdictional lines, working together on planning, creating that connectivity, and showing the desire of that local government to take care of what we're asking to build and for all of Minnesotans to use. So as we continue to move through the legislative process from year to year, I see that building stronger and stronger to do what you need, what you're speaking of. Thanks.
I think that's what we all hope. Representative Wiginius?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the things that we've learned in LCCMR was one of the things that was happening there is we were appropriating year to year, and somebody perhaps would start a project and didn't have the second year funding, and that didn't get funding because the legislature changed. And with these funds, we can do it differently. We can, and did, for LCCMR, say if you're going to start a prairie restoration project, we are going to give you the money for whichever piece of land it is, plus the amount of money needed for 5 years, not one or two, to go through the process of restoring that piece of land. So by the time you're finished, you should have a sustainable property. And I think we could start to think in those terms for a park or a trail that we create, that if we're going to have a new park, it is, or an expanded park, we should have a plan for that piece that is now going to last. Otherwise, I have trouble seeing where we're going to get enough money to do what everybody is thinking about. I mean, the money seems large until you try to spend it.
Yeah. My advice to future speakers is in the future when you, and I can think of former members of the legislature, not any of the present company here, instead of appointing someone as chair of this committee who tends to like everything that's been presented before the committee, find somebody who's really mean, who doesn't want to spend this money, who is just adamant in being as nasty as they can to anyone who comes here. And then I think the job will be at least more interesting. So,
Madam Chair, you're looking for volunteers?
Yeah, right. No, I think we'll try and get through this biennium at least, but I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that in the future, whichever party is in control, that would be my advice. Just I won't name names. The people in the past whom we all know of who are just, you know, really mean. So, anyway, Representative Murphy?
Madam Chair.
And see, totally unlike someone like Representative Willard Munger, who was so totally calm and wonderful and loved everything. So, anyway, Representative Murphy.
I really appreciate your testimony today. You know, if you've been here before when we talked about the parks and trails and the four pillars, I question about the pillar to maintain what we have. Because it seems to me, if we're thinking of legacy money to maintain what we have, we are supplanting. But the second speaker, for the first time I heard when we were talking about the pillars, that you said then that it would be local responsibility to maintain what we build with the legacy money. And I hadn't heard that before, and so now I have a little more hope.
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, that has been the way it is in Greater Minnesota. Through the DNR grants program, we have to commit as local jurisdictions to maintain and operate what we have. So,
that's going to be part of your criteria then, as this commission recommends projects and ranks projects.
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, within our strategic plan. I know it hasn't been adopted by the legislature, and honestly, we don't know how to get it adopted by the legislature. I think by putting it in this bill that we operate off of, our strategic plan would help. We do ensure successful implementation, and in our plan, we do speak to the operations and maintenance as a local responsibility.
Okay. And Madam Chair.
Representative Murphy.
With the testimony of the two speakers today, then, and what you added about connectivity, I feel better.
Good. Hey, that's the goal of every day of this committee. make people feel better one at a time.
If Madam Chair, if I may, to make Representative Murphy feel even better, on page 35 of the 175 plan, the second tier of the evaluation criteria with classifications says to ensure successful implementation. I highlighted this myself. Olmsted County has an operational budget for county parks, $1.2 million a year, and I've been involved in that for 30 years. So we've always felt, as all counties do and municipalities, they certainly feel like they carry their own with the startup and the endowment from the state as related to park. But just to make feel a little bit better, what I highlighted in that was secondary tier for our evaluation system in the 175 plan speaks to successful implementation of a project, and then I put, make sure the host agencies get it. And the second tier of this evaluation as it related to trails is, all right, you got a good project there, you pass that hurdle, but now do you understand what it's going to take to maintain this thing in perpetuity? And that's an integral part of this plan. I, for one, find that pretty compelling because we've been doing it a long time. So I hope that helps you feel even better.
Okay. Other things that I meant to mention that we're going to be doing in the Delete Everything Amendment is that on recommendations of DNR and conversations with the Conservation Corps, we're going to cut that amount of money down a little bit. They'll still got more than they got last year, but they're not going to give them $4 million. So, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry if I missed it, but when will we be seeing the DE amendment and the accompanying spreadsheet?
As soon as we let these guys out to do it, to get it. I'm sorry. I know I should have had it out early, but this combination of committees has two people very, very overworked.
I am not.
Not me, but other people.
I am in no way disparaging our staff or their capabilities. Yeah. I'm just curious about
that. So we're getting it out as fast as we can. Hopefully late this afternoon or tonight. An email to everybody. So if you're not hanging around waiting for the paper, you can at least see it on your email.
I'm hanging around.
Okay. Is there any other additional public comment?
You cracked me down.
Do we have any additional public comment?
Not with an email.
Okay. Who?
Oh. You
please give us your name and who you represent and so forth.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Kim Kang, and I'm with the Minnesota State Council on Disability. And I'm actually here today. The State Council on Disability has been around since 1973, and we serve as a technical advisor to the governor, the legislature, other state agencies, and the public on disability issues. And what I'm here to kind of comment about is to express the council's support for funding DNR operations to identify and resolve accessibility issues within our state parks. This would be for people with disabilities just to be able to use the facilities just like any other taxpaying citizen. Minnesotans currently have a disability, 20% of Minnesotans currently have a disability, and nearly 1.5 million Minnesotans are projected to be over age 65 by 2035, which means the infrastructure must be updated to comply with a constantly changing access code. The DNR has made access a priority, and the State Council has been working with them in recent years to solve these issues. As the state ages, we anticipate the parks will see increased use and would like to identify and resolve these issues before the demand becomes overwhelming. Individuals using the parks must be able to park a vehicle, use the facilities, and that's not presently the case in all of our parks. So we believe more funding devoted to DNR to really look at these issues would be very much appreciated, not only by the council, but for all the people with disabilities in our state. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we do have requirements for things to be, from the ADA Act, for things to be accessible. I get a little nervous about how much we start saying more that's the responsibility of legacy, beyond the legacy appropriations, how much that gets into supplanting instead of supplementing. I mean, if DNR, for example, or regional parks, for example, felt that they're not responsible for doing any of this because Legacy is going to do it, it would not be good for us. I think it would be against the constitutional provisions of the bill. So,
okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Madam Chair. We do appreciate that. I mean, certainly people with disabilities would appreciate any accessibility, you know, funding you could accommodate.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Is there anyone else who wants to? Any other public testimony? People are sort of standing with, looking as if they do. Is there any other public testimony? Then, since everyone has decided they want to hold off on their amendments to tomorrow, if there's any committee discussion, we can. There's no more committee. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Probably should have left Health and Human Services keep this room.
No, you did the right thing, Madam Chair.
With your room.
See, no, we just finished on the agenda. What was it? The Parks and Trails, right? Are we going to? So you just are asking about any amendments to the Clean Water Fund, that's right?
Or the Parks and Trails.
Okay.
You know, I know there were some amendments being proposed for the Parks and Trails, but I thought we asked and people wanted to keep them off until tomorrow. But any amendments, and any amendments to be submitted, are all welcome.
Madam Chair, the reason I asked, is that pretty much conclude the business of the day at this point?
I'm about to, unless someone can think of something else we want to do.
Well, if someone keeps on talking, we could be... I have a concern.
I don't want to cut anyone off, okay. But I am ready to adjourn. If
you want to talk about photography for a while?
No, I want to talk about clean water.
Okay.
No, I do have a question for Representative Bouguinis.
Okay, good. No, I just as soon have questions about it now so we can kind of go to efficiently deal with amendments tomorrow.
See members who want to leave right now? Should rather do it now. No, a serious question.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you. When reading over the Legacy Amendment OLA's report just regarding the clean water, and adding up some of the funds for the clean water, you know, the question I asked yesterday, I was partly incorrect in the amount that is allocated for either implementing and or studying. But in looking at the report, it does raise a concern regarding the significant, I'll just read it here if you would be so kind. The water fund is not being adequately targeted at projects that are likely to produce measurable outcomes, is one of their concerns. They also argue that the state has already spent significant amounts of money on research and testing with Minnesota's waters in years past. And the legacy money, should be focused more on actually reducing pollutants that are currently in our lakes and rivers and streams, as well as helping reduce and prevent additional pollution. That's all. That's their finding, and of course, that's your. I believe that is your goal, Representative Wiginius. But in adding up some of the funds just on research and goal setting and measurable outcomes, none that are implementation, unless I'm wrong, and that is a possibility. I do make a mistake from time to time. I have calculated over $43 million in your bill in that section, just in assessments, goal setting, monitoring, not necessarily implementing. Now I recognize out of that $43 million just in that I added up, and I could be incorrect, Representative Bouguinius, that maybe there's some minor little implementations of those appropriations. But for the most part, according to the bill, if you would read it on its face value, and I guess that's what we do as lawmakers, a lot of it is, $43 million that I added up, is on, and I can read it if you want, but I'll spare you the time, developing, setting goals, ascertaining. And I know that's important, of course. We must do that. You made mention of that yesterday. We can't just go out there and fix something we don't know is broken. But if what I added up is true, $43 million in the next 2 years just on goal setting and planning and organizing and so on and so forth, and not implementation, then that does address a concern that the OLA suggested as well in his audit, that we maybe need to be careful and actually spend some money implementing for cleaner waters, not necessarily studying. What say you, Representative Bouguinius?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's, of course, I don't know what you added and didn't add, but let me just make make some comments about some things that are in here that are definitely boots on the ground, or at least boots, they're boots on the ground. For example, I have in here $2.5 million a year more than the Clean Water Council recommended for the Clean Water Partnership Program. Well, the Clean Water Partnership Program is essentially designed to go to lake associations, and they are the ones that will, that is implementing. They, a long time ago, there were lake associations came in with plans, and they were funded. And about the time that they came in with, now we've got a plan, let's implement it, there was no more money. And so this is a substantial amount. One of the things that I think in just looking at, we have way underfunded the lakes portion, I believe. So that's one thing. As you are looking in there, and of course I don't know what you added up, one of the big pieces moved from Bowser to PCA, and that would be all prevailing septic systems now, or those of imminent threat to public health. We have a lot of trouble keeping track of outcomes and accountability in that area. So I would be happy to bring some spreadsheets tomorrow. I didn't change the amount of money, but I'm working hard for more accountability and getting more bang for the buck for that by saying, instead of just every county gets the same amount of money and no outcomes, that we are now asking counties to submit a plan for significant, I think it's a significant decrease in water pollution by, and so there's competitive grants. And I think competitive grants have proved to be good in getting more done. So that's another thing. I don't know how you counted the money going to shoreline restoration. That is, if a county adopts shoreline rules that are advanced shoreline, advanced rules, they each get $100,000 for restorations, and I count that as far as getting work done. So you will see some different things in here, and one of the things that you may be criticizing, and I just don't know how to answer it other than to say there is a new study in here for the metropolitan area of the way, and and you haven't heard the testimony, and I regret that, but the testimony is that in the metropolitan area we are using too much water from the ground in aquifers, basically, and it's not sustainable. And we had several presentations from the Metropolitan Council saying we have got to change the way we're doing business. Minneapolis, I'm from Minneapolis, our water is all from the river and we clean it up. But St. Paul, by and large, is from the river. But most areas are actually from the groundwater. So there is a big study in there, but it's not a study just to look at it. It is a study to bring us in a plan to how do we change our way of doing business. And you'll see the words in there, rebalancing from all ground, using groundwater to using more surface water. So that's one of those cases where you just can't willy-nilly go ahead without knowing where you're going. And that is a, so I would say that, yes, that is a new study. The other one that I would mention in there is there's $500,000 to look at the northeast region of the metropolitan area, and you probably are, even though you haven't heard testimony here, you're probably aware that the White Bear Lake is kind of drying up, and that's my phone. They're probably calling me to say, what are you going to do about White Bear Lake? oh, my gosh, it is some still water. I'm not kidding you guys. So in that case, we're trying to understand the hydrology of that lake and that whole area. So as a way to understand how we are going to deal with problems where too much, it seems that too much groundwater is gone, there's a gap and the lake is just going through, and getting it back. We have in the past spent a lot of money doing things without getting the job done, and I would at some point one of us is going to be brave enough to ask how much money we've spent on Lake Christina up in Otter Tail County. We've spent millions and millions and millions of dollars, and this lake isn't still in poor shape. I think it's because we were trying things rather than figuring out what was wrong first and then solving the problem. So those are so one of the things that you may be critiquing there is that in this bill that is before you, we are funding geologic atlases, which was not done. The Clean Water Council did nothing for funding the U. And let me just tell you about geologic atlases, because we haven't had that testimony in this committee. That's how your county looks at what water does it really have. It's looking at the basin. How big is it? It doesn't look at the recharge rate, but it does look at the basin to see what's in it. We've covered about a third of the state with geologic atlases. And if we don't ramp up in the way I've done it in this bill, it would take us 20-some years to get the job done. And I'm trying to ramp up so that all counties will be covered and they will know where their water is, so we're fairly use our water, and it would be done in 10 years. So if that's a study and a bad thing, then that's characterized as a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think you have to know where your water is. We've run into huge problems of sinking too many wells in some spots, and in other spots we have lots of water, and we don't know. We don't know much about our groundwater. So, yes, we are. So in this bill, there is about $10 million altogether. I haven't added up exactly, for understanding our groundwater. But I would also tell you, in the Constitution, it specifically says that the money is for lakes, rivers, and streams, and to protect groundwater from degradation. So the groundwater part has been neglected, and while I'm not bringing it back into balance by any means in this bill, I am moving in that direction. Does that answer your question in any way?
Representative Dunn.
Madam Chair, yes, it certainly does, Representative Wagenius. I would just say to the committee that according to the Office of the Legislators Auditors, that they are concerned with that as well. And my thought when you were speaking was, while Rome is burning, we're trying to figure out why it's burning. Not that our rivers and lakes and streams are burning, but we should put some water out on it. So I would just say, based upon their information and the bill that I'm reading, that perhaps more money should be addressed to actually solving the problem in some areas. And I'm new to this committee, we're President Genius. I'll take your expertise and certainly take that into consideration while I vote, but take some of that funding to actually deal with some pollutants based upon what the Constitution the people voted for. And I certainly could address each particular item in the bills that I added up, and then you could quench my thirst for concern of the money, and maybe I was incorrect in that.
Representative Wagenius.
Yes, thank you. Representative McDonald, the very first thing you said to me, and I forgot to talk to you about, is that you said that the money should be better targeted. And indeed, in this bill, the money is far more targeted than we have done in the past. And Representative Kahn mentioned that we should be working intensely in some sub-watersheds and to see if we do that, that we can really make a difference that the public can see. Because right now we're doing random acts of conservation across the state. The public doesn't see any difference, and that's what upsets the public. So in here, there would be maybe 4 to 12, I think, or 12 sub-watersheds that would be more intensely worked on with a list of things that they could do, like the establishment of riparian buffers, practices to store water for natural treatment and infiltration, including rain gardens, capturing stormwater for reuse, stream bank, shoreline, and ravine stabilization, enforcement activities, and implementation of best management practices for feedlots within the riparian areas, and other practices demonstrated to be the most effective in protecting, enhancing, and restoring water quality in lakes, rivers, and streams. I'm reading on from pages 16 and 17, so that these projects would last for 4 years, would require a 25% match, and hopefully with the intensity, we could learn what works and what doesn't work.
Oh, thank you, Representative Wagenius. Lastly, I actually stopped on page 9 and adding up my figures, so maybe I should keep going to 16 as well. But thank you. That was
okay.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. We will be spending some more time on this tomorrow,
yes.
Hopefully not an inordinate amount of time, but I think it'll be a lot easier to examine these issues with the spreadsheet in front of us.
Yes.
Where we can actually make comparisons between what's been recommended by the council and what's been recommended by Representative Wagenius. There are a number of issues that deserve further discussion, and I look forward to the day tomorrow.
Okay. I think what we had done, we had given out the governors, and but not the councils, and you're right, we should go back to the council as opposed to just the governor. So, but the bill came to us. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. These are not my recommendations at this point. The Committee on the Environment, Natural Resources, and Agriculture Finance has voted on these, so they are recommendations from the committee.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. But I believe the recommendations originated in your office, Representative Wagenius.
Remember that in the legislative process, as soon as it passes through a stage, it becomes the property of the committee. Goes put once the committee passes it, it's the committee's recommendation, not the chair or the members' recommendation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just in search of the headwaters. That's
okay. Okay. Tomorrow at 2:15. Hopefully in room 5. We'll check in advance.
Well done.
We'll take it out before. We'll send McDonald down. Adjourn.